What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 10th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Yuri Perez, he made his return to the majors from Tommy John yesterday, and how good was it? Well, he might be the Miami Vice for your teams, as it was 3 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and just 5 strikeouts. I mean, 5 strikeouts is all right. 70 pitches, though. In those 3 innings, he labored a lot, especially in that third frame. The big issue here is the secondaries. I don't know how good those are going to be moving forward. It was moments with the slider working. It was moments with the curveball being okay. But really, this was just 98 miles per hour along the edges and generally working, but became apparent with 31% foul balls on the fastballs that Yuri needed something else. And I think it's going to be the changeup in time. It could be a cutter or something a little bit harder than the 85 to 87 mile per hour slider. It's also the first game, and he got kind of unlucky with this, even against the Pirates. He's also going to be limited in some fashion. It's going to be 80 pitches. Is it going to be 5 innings? I don't know. He probably will have a longer leash by August or so. But Yuri is still very much worth your time. That fastball is better than your typical mid to upper 90s heater because he actually commands it well. I mean, yes, he did have those wild ones at times. It's an adrenaline rush, all that kind of stuff. No, he's not going to be at 88, 89 in all likelihood moving forward because, again, the adrenaline pushed up the velocity to 98.5, which is nuts. But yeah, I want to see a little bit of development with the changeup in particular from Perez, as before the injury, it was still one of those situations where the slider was the good breaking ball, even though it wasn't spectacular in its marks, and the changeup was a little bit lagging behind, and it seems like it's kind of the same thing now. So pay attention to that. He's not an instant top 20 starter, unfortunately, but he is going to be someone that should help in your 12-teamers, and that is a big deal. You have Yusei Kikuchi against the Athletics, got the win, 7.1 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. If you want more, by the way, on Yuri Perez, I'm doing a video breakdown on our YouTube channel, so go check that out, youtube.com/pitcherlist. Anyway, with Kikuchi, if you remember the quote, it was that he was throwing the wrong grip on his slider in his four-seamer. What? And they finally caught it, but then he still had that 5-walk game before. This is obviously better. But his command of this fastball is not good. It was only 1 over 38 whiffs as he threw the ball low. And when you have a very flat attack angle, you do not want to throw the ball low. You want to throw it up because bat paths are steeper upstairs than they are down. And that helps batters hit your fastball, Kikuchi. So not great in that respect. The slider did get 8 over 44 whiffs, but that means an 18% swing strike rate. And I'm not saying that's bad. It just means that that's not a pitch that traditionally should carry pitchers throughout outings at the elite level, at least like 7.1 innings of 0 runs and just 1 hit, right? I didn't really love the curve or the changeup in this one much. I think of Kikuchi, I think you have to have a dominant four-seamer and a dominant slider. I didn't quite see that here. And the curve did help for many outs in play. But yeah, I'm not sold that Kikuchi's back. So he does get the Orioles next. It could be good. He's going to face a little bit more lefties, which might help with his slider and such. So fine if you want to spec at it and see if he continues to grow and get better. I totally am fine with that. But we're not there yet with Yusei Kikuchi. Jose Berríos against the Cardinals. He's the great undulator. And what does he do? 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? You can't predict the guy. So if you have him on your teams, you know the deal of just plugging him in or not. It's up to you. Don't really base it on the opponent. Don't base it on anything else. Really, it's Berríos is going to do what Berríos does. Merrill Kelly against the Mariners. 6 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. He's underrated, I think, in your fantasy teams. I think he's been far better and far more productive than people give him credit because he throws effective strikes down and utilizes the neckbeard approach to take advantage of his good defense behind him. He has a winning ball club behind him too, offensively. The neckbeard approach, by the way, is living around the edges as much as possible and trying not to throw many over the plate, but just staying down and tempting guys off of it. It wasn't fully here, but This certainly was the cutter down and away to right-handers with changeups underneath to lefties. And then a lot of things scattered around too, but it's a kitchen sink that works 34% CSW for a King Cole for Merrill Kelly. And he had over a 31% CSW in all of his five main pitches. I say main pitches because he had three sliders thrown for 0/3 CSW, whatever. Yeah, Merrill Kelly's cool, and you should keep rolling with this. We had Jeffrey Springs get opened for by Grant Holman. And this was nice. Six innings of three runs, fine. Five hits, zero walks, and eight Ks. It's not a poor quality start because he didn't start. But the whip underneath one, eight strikeouts. You'll love this if you ran with it against a righty heavy lineup. And traditionally, the Angels are good against lefties. But this was really good for Springs as he's much better against righties with that changeup cooking for 13/32 whiffs. Now he does get the Royals and the Guardians next. That could be fine. He's probably still going to have an opener, though. I believe that's two straight games that Jeffrey Springs has had an opener. And the slider and fastball and kind of cutter, like he threw like five of them or so, are not really that good. So this is all about the changeup. And as long as that changeup's working, Springs can be effective. Chris Sale against the Brewers got the win. Seven innings of one run, five hits, two walks, and 11 strikeouts. Classic Blake Snell blueprint, four seamers and sliders to right-handers. He threw one changeup to a right-hander and then two to lefties, and the total was a foul ball in two balls. And they did throw some sinkers actually against lefties. I'm fine with that. Otherwise, I mean, he really deserves to be in tier one. I'll have him there next week. You have Zach Wheeler against the Cubs. Welcome back. Congrats on your fatherhood. Six innings, one run, three hits, one walk, and seven Ks for 17 whiffs for a Gallows pull. And by the way, Jeffrey Springs would have gotten the golden goal if he started, but he didn't. It was 20 whiffs and 38% CSW. Wild. The splitter actually was 0/11 CSW with just 36% strikes. Could have been better. Come on, step it up. I know it was the Cubs, and I know you allowed that home run to Kyle Tucker in the first and whatever. But yeah, Zach Wheeler's dope and makes us feel dope. Matthew Boyd was on the other side of this, and this was an interesting one. I'm going to talk about this and many others from yesterday's games after this break. Matthew Boyd, six innings, one earned run. We'll take that against the Phillies, except it was eight hits and two walks, which is a terrible whip, and zero strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? How did that happen? Well, he didn't really throw many sliders to right-handers. He threw curveballs instead, which were fine as called strike pitches. And then against lefties, he did try to throw some of those sliders effectively, and they were not really that good. And the changeup that is traditionally the strikeout pitch, the main whiff thing against right-handers, yeah, that was kind of all over the place a bit. It wasn't quite as good as we've seen, especially not down and away. But his four-seamer got him through this. This was a four-seamer that was really, really well spotted along the edges to right-handers, not down the middle. It did allow hits, but it got enough outs, not massive damage against that pitch. And that's how Matthew Boyd got through this day, and that's a really good sign. Because when you don't have your bad days, how bad is it? Is a constant test to see how reliable guys are. When we talk about sturdy floors, it's not just about success every day. It's about the floor, the actual times when it's really bad. How bad actually is it? And Matthew Boyd, yeah, great stuff here. Andrew Pallante against the Jays got the gold star because he went six innings of 200 runs. I did not expect him to do that whatsoever. Now, it was eight base runners and just three strikeouts, and I don't want to go for him against the Brewers and the Reds and in Cleveland. I just think, like, it's just not enough. Because even here, you got a 3 ERA, but you still had a bad whip. Eight base runners in six innings and just three strikeouts. You didn't get a win. You know, is it worth it? Not really. He also had his best slider and curve here at the very bottom of the zone. I don't think that's going to stick for Andre Pallante. So, yeah, I'm good. You have Emerson Hancock against the Diamondbacks, and I'm starting to see how this could progress to a place where we like Emerson Hancock. He has a 17 to 18 inch horizontal sinker. He has good command now of his four-seamer. It was upstairs to lefties. Thing is, it doesn't have any good metrics assigned to it, save for being about 95 miles per hour, which is kind of average, 94.8. And it's on the steeper side of attack angle, it is 11 inches of vert, so maybe it's more like a cutter, like the Cannibal McSanchez, you could say. But it still earned 7/36 whiffs because it is located well upstairs to lefties. Now, the sinker was underneath it and not well spotted, and the changeup was not doing enough against lefties for him to really have a field day there. Well, against right-handers, sure, he's trying to throw that sinker, which was okay. Location and the slider wasn't really helping much. So you can see in the past from Hancock having really good days with the changeup and being able to get that sinker inside to righties, and we've also seen the slider do all right. If all those pitches come together, yeah, this can be a good pitcher. This can be something like a Toby to a Holly for Emerson Hancock, and this is his first year actually really getting a feel for things with all the injuries that the Mariners have dealt with. Even though Kirby is back, now you have Bryce Miller on the IL. We don't know when Logan Gilbert is going to return. So Hancock is getting a lot more of a runway than initially expected, and I'm happy for it for next year, Hancock, but not really this year. Maybe by the second half, he actually is putting this all together in a really good way and consistently. That'd be cool. You have Aaron Civaldi against Atlanta, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. I'm not going to get excited about Civaldi until I see the curveball and the sweeper doing really well. Only 20% usage combined with 12 curves and 4 sweepers. And the four-seamer and the sinker just kind of, ugh. Now, he did go Cannibal McSanchez a lot with this cutter, which is cool. I'm fine with it. But, yeah, we need to see more from the breakers. You can't just really just get 4 total outs. That's just not enough for me. You have Mike Burrows going opposite Eury Pérez, and it was 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. I can see how this one works, too. He's a sleeper for next year, I think. Because it was 95-96 on the heater, with 17 inches of vert, and against lefties, he really did locate that high. While we've seen the slider look good against right-handers, and we saw like 1 or 2 changeups that were killer against lefties. Thing is, wasn't always killer. The curveball wasn't very good against them. Right-handers, the fastball was not well spotted. And there are a lot more things to refine with Mike Burrows, but the fact that he's throwing this four-seamer that has showcased good locations, and he has a slider that can work, and he has a changeup that can work, you can see how these pieces come together over time. I'm not going to buy that he is going to do this consistently, or at least have those pieces working consistently, because this wasn't even a good start here against the Marlins. Brian Bello had a more productive outing, but is it quite there yet? 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. The changeup, 8 thrown, 0 CSW. This was not a changeup game. And that itself is really why I think that Bello didn't have a better overall performance here. That said, the sweeper went 76% strikes and allowed just 1 hit on 29 thrown, which is really good. And the sinker did great against right-handers inside. Like, I want to see that sinker go inside against right-handers, is what I constantly say with these pitchers who have these heavy horizontal movement sinkers. Just throw that inside to right-handers and you will get through games. Now, lefties, he's trying to go upstairs with his four-seamer, that 1.4 height-adjusted VAA, and that can work, but it's not really that good of a four-seamer otherwise. He has to spot that consistently, the sinker mixed in with it, the changeup wasn't there, etc. It's not quite the thing that we want to see. He also threw more sweepers to lefties than righties. That's Brian Bello, and I want to apologize. I said yesterday that Logan Webb was doing the same. He's had starts where he's done that, but it's not actually that way. He's still throwing more changeups to lefties than he is to righties, and more sweepers to righties than lefties with a sweeper. That's Logan Webb. But Brian Bello, yeah, this isn't really it. You need that changeup at least for lefties, if not also as a weapon against righties. So we'll see how this turns out over time. I don't want to do this with the Yankees. Maybe the Giants after, if I see more of the same, or at least movement forward from there. He really needs that changeup to be something that we focus on. Shane Baz was pretty good through 5 innings. I believe he had a really bad second frame. And then the beginning of the 6th was rough. It was a hit by pitch and a walk and a home run, I believe it was. Or it was something, I can't remember. Essentially, he had 2 runners on and they got inherited on after that. And the single run that he had before was all these weird things combined to get them in. But long story short, 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. As I mentioned, careful Icarus here. The four-seamer is really good. It is a fantastic foundation. And the curveball is still effective. It wasn't located down often, but it was over the plate, and guys couldn't really do anything with it. But I want to see that low, because then we can do Blake Snell Blueprint and get more than 5 strikeouts, actually put away batters. The other element, though, is that Boz does really need a third pitch. He can't really do it with four-seamer curve. He can, but he needs something else, and he's trying to make it that, the changeup. It's not really located super well against lefties. It gets floated a lot. He just doesn't have the feel that we want him to have with it. At least he's not throwing the slider. 0 thrown finally. Not like 3 or 4 of them. 0. Thank you, Boz. Now figure that pitch out. It can't be that slider. It's got to be a different one, maybe a cutter version of it. I don't know, but figure something out that is a reliable third pitch, get that curveball down, and we are then cooking. And I do think that this is the first year of Shane Baz actually having consistent starts. I've talked about that a lot with many guys, but that's one of the things that I think we overlook a bit, at least I certainly do when I think about grading them throughout the year, is the younger guys who haven't really had the opportunity to develop in season before, as long as they get the innings, they generally get better. And we're seeing that a bit from Lodolo. I'm having more faith in him because he's not had this runway for a long time with his health, and I think that it's helping him out. I'm curious about Dustin May as we get later in the season, but he hasn't had any growth really, maybe a little bit. Shane Baz, though, I do feel is very well positioned to have that growth, and I'm very curious to see how it progresses. Wade Miley made his start. I can't believe it. He had a game of relief and was terrible, and this was 5 innings of 300 runs, and he got a win. 9 base runners, though. 5 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks. He's going ultra changeups and cutters, which are, they're calling sliders. It's cutters. It's 88 miles per hour, while his fastball is 91, 92. But the changeup location generally was good. The cutter was okay. I mean, he did go inside on it, but they didn't chase it as right-handers. And he did get mostly right-handers, which benefits him because he is this slider changeup. But we don't want to go with this against the Tigers at all, of course. And this is replacing Hunter Green because he's pretty much out for the season now. And where's Chase Burns? Bring him up, please. Maybe Chase Petty or Connor Phillips. Just there are these exciting guys with the Reds, and Chase Burns would be that guy. That'd be so cool. Luis Ortiz against the Reds carpet. 4.2 innings of 400 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. You can see how it can come together. But yeah, 52% strike rate on his four-seamer. Changeups were very middle-middle. The sinker did not find the edge. It was also middle-middle a bit. You know, the slider had lots of promise, but it allowed the home run here. Yeah, you just can't buy into Ortiz and his command. And the last one is a duel between Pivetta and May. That was a bit of a slugfest. 4 innings of 400 runs for Pivetta and 5 innings of 5 earned runs for Dustin May. Dustin May did not earn more than one strikeout. So how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? With 4 walks and 1 strikeout. And yeah, this was frustrating because he had so many misses to lefties that were just way out of the zone, away to these left-handers, sinkers and sweepers. While the cutter, he allowed a home run on one, and I believe it was a home run, maybe it was a hit. I think it was a hit. And I didn't throw it too much. He had a couple high four-seamers, but like he's not putting it together. And you got it. It's right there. But he's not commanding well. He's also not doing it at high velocity with the sinker. So, it's tough. He gets the Giants, Nationals, and Coors next, though. I feel like I want to still try it against the Giants. It's a decent win chance each time, and at least he's going 90 pitches. I feel like over time it does work, so I don't know. It's up to you there. And Nick Pivetta against the Dodgers. I mean, I can't really say much more there. It does look like he has a different version of a four-seamer. That is the cutter. And he did throw cutters technically, but those were like 87 and not like the 90, 91 that we've seen before too. So I think Pivetta is working on some things against right-handers there, which I'm curious about. And I don't know how that's going to show up, but it's in Arizona against the Diamondbacks next. I think that's fine. And hopefully the home run stuff isn't present. Moving forward with Pivetta, I'm just crossing my fingers. He's just been so good that you can't really not do it now. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.